Clear the airways for the big broadcast. It's time for HempRadio.com, your source for everything hemp and cannabis. With your host, Patty Cakes, the Queen of Cannabis.
Hey, Hoss, welcome to Hemp Radio. It's Patty Cakes, the Queen of Cannabis. And Candace, you've had an hour to put your butt in the chair. And now you're like, no, I'm just teasing.
I'm sick and I'm all like foggy.
Everybody's
I'm
sick
just like
here.
All over the place.
Everybody's sick. Everyone has a cold or something. Thank God I don't. I had mine in September. So anyway, welcome. We love you. Thanks for listening. We've had really high ratings lately, 9 out of 10. We're really excited. I'm here with my buds, Candace, Orange County Normal, and she's sick.
Still here, though. I'm a trooper.
I know. She's a trooper. Hey, we're diehards, or we die hard. What is it? Anyway, we have... Happy Jackie.
Woo!
You know, that's me. I love that. And we're going to find out why you're called Happy Jackie. And then we have our special guest who we'll talk more with on the second half is, okay, I'm going to say it and then they're going to correct me. Stefan Borst Sensulo.
You Woo-hoo! Almost had it.
Almost, yeah.
Oh, no.
Everything except the first name.
Yeah, this time she messed up the first name.
Then I thought I heard you say... It was supposed to be Stefan, and they called you Stefan.
I don't know. It's Stefan, but it was supposed to be Stefan, the way it's spelled.
But it is Stefan.
What do you want me to call you?
Pronounce Stefan.
I'm Stefan. Don't worry about it.
Stefan.
See, we told you. You told them that we'd correct you.
I was trying. I heard him say Stefan, and I thought, oh, maybe he liked that. So I was going to call him that.
Now, what I tell people is I spent college working in kitchens, so I've answered to every single permutation of Stephen possible. So,
right. Well, Stefan is our go-to cannabis lawyer, and what I love the most, he is the canna barrister. I love that.
Yeah, I love that handle.
But before we get into what he's up to, we're going to talk about, we have so much to talk about. Hey, did everybody watch the Super Bowl?
Yes.
Somewhat. Oh my God.
I missed it. And drinking. I thought the Falcons won because I just saw Facebook stuff. Jackie told me I missed the whole thing. It was
it went to overtime.
It was a big deal.
Anyway, they were winning by 28-3.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Tom the Ball Brady. I love him. Remember Ballgate? Remember Brady's balls?
Yes.
So, of course, I'm rooting for Tom Brady because I love Brady's balls. And so, I vote for the cute guy. If they're not a Pittsburgh Steeler, who is my team, everybody else I don't really know. So I vote for the cute guy. And Tom Brady is cute.
Yeah.
And his wife's fabulous.
Was he like, is he like retiring or something? Was there like some reason why this game was really special to him or anything?
His
like
mother
that?
Has cancer. His
it was
mother
bad, and it was the comeback because of the last game.
Because of Ballgate.
Yeah.
He was suspended because of his balls.
I don't get what happened with his balls. I don't know about Ballgate.
Stefan, do you know about Ballgate?
Basically, they found out the Patriots were systematically
greasing the ball.
He
was greasing his balls.
It was deflated somewhat.
Yeah,
deflating. He was deflating his balls.
Really? So it's easier to handle than I guess.
I honestly have no idea why.
Wow.
Yes, that's what they say. So he was suspended. He was fined. Whatever. And now he gives a big fuck you to everybody because they won the Super Bowl. But it was really important for him because his mother, for the last 18 months. Has been battling cancer. And this is the first game, I think, in a year that she's been able to come to.
Cool.
So she was there, and you can tell her head was bald because she had a scarf on. And he was so happy. I mean, I got the goosebumps.
Didn't he, like, score some, like, amazing, like, last overtime move or something? Was it him?
I don't know football. All I know, he's cute, and he has balls.
I can't say how I know I know, but I know it went into overtime. And Tom Brady has something to do with it.
Right.
But I was drinking and eating food and I wasn't by the TV.
I was smoking pot.
Right.
I was at a party. There were 60 people. This was in Las Vegas. And they have like four different areas. There was an inside, an outside living room. And then there's two big pools. And then you go past the pools and there's an outdoor bar that seats like 15 people and tables and there, it was insane. And half of the people were for the, who was playing now? Tom Brady.
Falcons and Patriots.
Right. Half was for the Patriots and half for the Falcons. And these people were all drunk. that they weren't fighting. They were yelling. Yeah. And I'm saying, oh God, kill me.
Wow.
Anyway, how about the commercials?
They were fun. They were good.
Oh,
I was
my
smoking
God.
Smoking a lot of weed, eating a lot of edibles.
Only watch the game. I only watch Super Bowls for the food, the people, and the commercials.
Yeah.
Stefan?
Halftime.
Did you watch? Oh, Gaga. Oh, my God. She was so incredible. And I'm not a fan. I mean,
That's what I saw from everybody. What? She, like, played on a donut piano and everybody's, like, in love or what?
Did she play a donut piano?
That's what I heard. She didn't play a donut piano?
I don't remember there being a donut.
She was fabulous.
There.
It doesn't matter.
I thought it was a piano made of donuts.
Did you watch the show?
I was like, what the
hell? I watched it. She was good.
She was absolutely incredible. It was her she's not like Madonna. Madonna can't sing or dance. Lady Gaga is probably one of the most talented singers.
For sure.
Dancers. She has balls. I like that. I didn't like the meat dress. I thought it was stupid, but what do you think?
About the game or?
Why aren't you talking, honey? Are you afraid of us?
No. I'm conflicted about the Super Bowl because I grew up during the time, you know, when the New England Patriots were coming up, and, you know, we identify a lot as a, you know, Boston sports family, but Brady being kind of an open supporter of the president right now made it so that it was really difficult to enjoy it. Plus,
why?
It's also like rooting for the Yankees.
He's a Trumpy, huh?
But there's a New England sports dynamic to it. I'm like a diehard Celtics fan primarily. And
okay, I like the Celtics.
I can understand
hockey.
And I can understand dynasties, but they were actually built on, you know, on an aesthetic and on a sport that isn't, you know, killing people. So it's weird. Being such a football fan for so long now, when you realize now that with the present issue of CTE and everything like that.
Yeah. Right. I always say that, I know this is like off topic, but I'm like, Kai's going to play every sport, but not football.
Honestly. Yeah.
I think it's dangerous. I mean, my brother wasn't allowed to play football. My mother would, I mean, he did, but my mother was nuts. I think it's dangerous.
I heard that of like the professional sports, like baseball and hockey and all that actually football is the only one that tests for marijuana.
Well, I wrote an article one time. I never got published, but it was about drug testing regimes in general, but especially sports, because that's where it first became kind of a normalized thing, I think, for management to consider, you know, just blindly drug testing everybody.
Yeah.
And in their case, it was done, you know, ostensibly for in reaction to the death of Len Bias for cocaine. But as everybody knows, when you're doing your analysis, cocaine and, you know, opiates or and alcohol for that matter all disappear from your bloodstream.
Oh, so wait a minute. You can't be tested. You can't have a blood test for cocaine.
Well, I mean, it's expensive, so no employer is going to do it compared to your analysis. So what, you know, the proliferation of drug testing is really interesting. With the NFL, they do test for cannabis, but they only test once a year. So it's actually kind of a joke, you know, immediately. And that we know about this because of Aaron Hernandez, the New England Patriot Aaron Hernandez, who murdered a couple or allegedly murdered
a couple of people.
He was a marijuana chain smoker. He's not exactly somebody who wanted to be emblematic, but he was a marijuana chain smoker along with being addicted to PCP, perhaps.
And he had a lot of problems.
He had a lot of problems.
He was really fucked up.
I saw that they were going to do a show on him.
But they used to joke about the day after the testing regime. It's just everybody in the NFL apparently is lighting up, you know.
Well, then
by contrast, the NBA, but meanwhile, to my knowledge, does not test at all.
Yeah, they were saying hockey does not test. The Pop Bros were saying on one of their shows last week. Shout out to the Pop Bros and the Cannabis Talk 101
Absolutely.
For letting us use their beautiful studio here.
Thank you. And they still let us back again this week.
Yeah, I know.
They're my suite mates. They're the first weed lawyers I ever met, and they've been remarkable.
Oh, they share a space where you are.
No, they were introduced to me. This is how legit they are. A judge recommended that I check them out.
Wow.
That's how I found them.
Did he call them the Pop Bros at law?
No, he
or did he say the Wasserman attorneys?
No, he knew them from Jewish day school.
So he was like, go check out Craig Wasserman.
He's like, you need to check out Craig and Mark. They've
That's what I like about my Jewish friends. They stick together. They really do. I mean, I lived in a
They're
Jewish
like, yeah,
community.
He might smoke weed, murder people, but he's a Jew. It's okay.
Well, Jews are Italian. Italians are the exact same thing.
Same thing. So. Jews and Italians are the same.
And then if you're a Jew Italian, it's almost like being a county worker. You know, you're okay unless you kill someone on county time with county property.
I need to talk about this. You know, abomination commuted sentences for drug for low profile offenders.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously he isn't a good judge of character, because a man whose life sentence, and this is what I want to talk about, life sentence for drug distribution. We're talking about, we're not talking pot with this guy. We're talking cocaine. We're talking heroin. I mean, we're not talking pot. So abomination, let this guy go. He just got arrested again with, Let me find it.
Did he murder someone, or was it just drugs again?
It doesn't matter.
Well,
heroin is a... Wait a minute. Who would you rather have, heroin or heroin, cocaine, or somebody with pot?
Oh, obviously. Come on. No, but at the same time, the need for heroin comes out of an addiction to opiates in general. And if you're looking at where the people are getting their opiates primarily, it's from the pharmaceutical companies.
And who knows, he may have been using heroin that whole time in jail too.
So why are you making excuses? I say let the pot people out. I don't care about the heroin and cocaine, because it's a much more dangerous drug. This guy went right out and did what he knew how to do. That's more what he did.
Did drugs. That's not the worst thing. It's not the worst thing in the world, though.
He was arrested in San Antonio by the police after allegedly crashing. I love it. They watch him crash and they're saying allegedly. I hate that word. They need to take that out of the legal dictionary.
It's in the Constitution, actually.
I don't care.
You have a presumption of innocence until proven guilty.
Right. But if you're watching some... If I watch you stab a person, I'm not going to say allegedly. I'm saying he fucking did it.
Well, how do you know that that person wasn't acting in self-defense?
I saw the whole thing. I was there. I witnessed it. I'm a key witness.
How do you know that person was in a right state of mind and not incapacitated in a way that they're not responsible for their
actions? I don't care. I really don't care. He killed a person. You need to die.
This is excellent. I never want you in a jury, ever.
I'm not allowed in juries.
No.
I've been never, ever served because they asked me.
And because this episode, it goes on the internet forever. You will never again serve on a jury, Patty.
Oh. Plus,
just be like, Judge, go listen to episode 105 on Hemp Radio.
Wait a minute.
And you'll hear my views.
Remember the last time I went to jury duty? Brand new car. I had 3 weeks. I was doing my right as a citizen and went to court because I was called for jury duty. I left the building. I was coming to work. I had all my shit in the car, covered, of course. When I got to my car, my brand new Volkswagen Tiguan, the window was smashed, shattered everywhere in my car, and they took everything.
Mind you, this is the freaking parking garage for the Santa Ana Police Department.
I say,
okay,
I'm not serving.
Where the jury members park. What the F, right?
I mean, well, I don't.
That's
and I
crazy.
Called them.
That's crazy.
Oh, and they would not assume any responsibility.
It's probably, I hate to say it, but maybe somebody getting out of jail or something, because you get let out right around the corner from the jail. I don't know, but that's pretty bad if the cops can't secure the jail.
I was finishing this, the guy that allegedly crashed his vehicle into another motorist while fleeing from a drug deal. According to a criminal compliant affidavit, Gil, that was the guy's name, contacted an unidentified person to arrange a drug deal involving a kilo of cocaine. Oh yeah, that's good.
What was this one job? What was it? Wait a second. When you get out of prison, they don't exactly. Bill Clinton cut education programs at federal prisons back when he was president.
He didn't care. This guy didn't care.
Now that this guy's out of prison, his one skill in life has been dealing cocaine.
Right.
What is he going to go back to?
There's programs. There's college and jail. Why are you sticking up for criminals?
Yeah, but no, this
because
guy
I'm a criminal
thought,
defense attorney. It's literally my job.
Because this guy thought he was going to be in jail for another 20 years. He wasn't really preparing for release. He didn't have skills. And he did respect being let out. He didn't want a little Obama jam. That's why he fucking ran.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, fuck Obama, let me out.
You know what?
You know?
I am with the biggest tree huggers in the world. They're letting criminals out of jail that could give your kids cocaine and heroin.
So we should, you know what we should do instead?
We should
decriminalize and we should
Give them what they need. Let them kill themselves and OD.
Instead of spending the money on enforcement and for the cops, be paying for doing what Richard Nixon did and match the money for rehabilitation.
And what happened to that program?
It was eliminated under Nixon, so we now have about an 80, 90, 10 to 20% split in terms of enforcement versus rehabilitation. When I had to get a friend of mine put into alcohol detox, you know, for acute alcohol addiction, they were giving me 6 weeks until he'd be able to get a bed for immediate detox.
Oh, I know. My ex-husband was in the same fucking facility 7 times. Mm-hmm. That's how much he wanted to rehabilitate.
But it's a long process. And for a lot of people, and it's a medical issue that requires a lot of care.
I don't
care.
Believe that. To me, it's a choice in life. If you can choose to quit, it's not a disease. If you can choose to quit heroin, quit cocaine, it's not a disease. I don't choose to quit.
Did you ever quit cigarettes though?
Yes, I did. I smoked.
How much did it suck?
No, I quit cold turkey. I smoked my ask Candace. I don't know if I was a bitch, ugly, probably, but I quit one day and never picked up another cigarette. So grow some fucking balls, people. Stop blaming everybody.
You should have put a rehab and be like,
I mean, it's easy. Life's easy.
But why? You had access to a replacement therapy. You had access to cannabis, which allowed you to be able to continue smoking.
Yeah. If you live in California or any other legal state, you can get it anywhere underground. And on that note, we're going to take a short break because this is getting heated. And I can see Stefan and I are going to fight. I love you. We'll be right back with more Hot Pot Topics.
Clean my room until I got high. I was gonna get up and find the broom, but then I got high.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Hemp Radio. It's Patty Cakes, the Queen of Cannabis, with my buds, Candace. I'm going to be poking her today because she's pounding the desk.
I'm out of control. I'm just like,
She's sick. She makes that excuse. She's sick and she has a baby. And that's why she can't function sometimes. Anyway.
I need a handicap placard.
I want one too. I don't want to be handicapped, but I want so I can park when it rains.
Yeah.
It's raining here again.
I love mine.
Yeah.
It's like and we have
VIP service.
Happy Jackie.
Woo woo. Hey there.
And our special guest. Are you afraid of me, honey?
No.
Okay, good. Stefan. Now, I have to say this, and I already told him so. Don't be booing me, girls. Stefan's name is hyphenated. Borst Sensulo.
Mm-hmm.
Only girls do that, babe.
I didn't really have a choice on the matter.
I want you to tell the people. Wait, tell them why you have that name.
Why I have the name? Oh, yeah. My parents decided it. They wanted that both of their last names on me. So that's why I have a ridiculously long last name. And it was really fun when signing up for... I don't know if you knew this, the Patriot Act, when it was passed, requires everybody to, every male at least, to sign up for Selective Service.
Oh, really?
And sometimes they also, they also sell your name and information off of standardized testing to the military for them to call you. So each SAT, SAT-2, AP exam, all that stuff throughout high school have different character allotments on how you can put your name. So I would get called by the same military recruiter five times in a row for different spellings of my last name.
That's funny.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Well, I'm sure they have to.
I feel like you called me yesterday.
Right. Oh, you called me 5 seconds ago. Oh,
okay, shoot. So listen, I love it. You're an attorney and a lobbyist for the cannabis industry. That's why we love him. And he's very, very cute. And he has a beautiful wife and a really, really cute little girl.
Really cute.
Who is one of my favorite Facebook people.
Yeah.
And I love this, Stefan. You wrote, think Ralph Nader or Morris Dees, but with the weed. That was fabulous. And you're the cannabarrister. So tell us how that came about, and I love that.
So I used to work for the city of Long Beach doing legislative work and policy analysis, and when I left that position, I really was looking for doing kind of straight lawyering jobs, but...
When you say straight, you don't mean in the cannabis industry.
Within the cannabis industry. Never considered it. My father-in-law recommended it that I check it out when I was in law school, and I ignored him.
Oh my God. Yeah. He was smart, wasn't he?
He was smart. If I had done that, I would have started in 2012 and avoided and pretty much had graduated law school with a job.
Wonderful,
so,
right?
If I had done that.
If you only listened.
If I had only listened. But instead, I got a really good experience within city government. And that's why I've been kind of doing a parallel track about learning the ins and outs of the of this business. Well, at the same time, there's the way that the law is structured right now means that for folks with an understanding of the larger political world, as well as the way in which municipal and county and state level governments in California interact with each other, which is something I learned firsthand, it can be really useful for clients in a unique way. So,
wow. So how long have you been helping the cannabis, working with the cannabis industry?
So I was a secret pothead on the Long Beach City Council.
I love this, a secret pothead.
Yeah. There were
you
one
were
of
a council
many.
Person.
No, I worked for a council person.
He was like
for the
staff.
Mayor.
Yeah.
And one day, and where I live in Long Beach is a mostly gay neighborhood where we had a lot of, you know, completely illegal, but pretty much harmless and, you know, integrated in the community dispensaries. You know, not
right.
fancy ones.
No.
But ones that none of the neighbors ever complained about in District 2 of Long Beach. And one day I woke up and they were all gone. And it was, you know, really disheartening, especially because I knew the city. I knew the laws that were being in place, and I saw what was happening.
There's a lot of...
long history.
Yeah, there's a long history. There's a lot of people that really could benefit from cannabis in Long Beach. I mean, they have a huge...
Tell us what their problem is, though.
The problem is NIMBYism.
What?
NIMBYism, not in my backyard.
Would you explain that?
Yeah.
No, people don't know what that is.
Not in my backyard. So Long Beach, like a lot of cities, you know, the people who vote mainly are property owners, and the people who have...
Wait, do you think that people in Huntington Beach or Santa Ana, they're not property owners, or people where there's dispensaries?
No, they are.
In L.A.? So
that's what I'm saying.
I don't understand.
No. What I'm saying is the people who vote and who have political power are outside, are more or less going to be people who are property owners, regardless of whether or not they live there. And they're going to be... They're concerned mainly about any particular thing they could see as a threat to property values.
Yeah. And they may support the issue. They would be like, I support, you know, rehabs. I support dispensaries. I support methadone clinics.
Personal growth.
But
personal
I don't
growth.
Want them in my backyard,
exactly.
You know?
Okay, so when somebody...
So that's the hardest kind of to fight, you
exactly.
know?
Right, but when somebody
on your
says,
side,
how
right.
do you help your seniors? I always go for the seniors or your sick or your veterans that live in Long mm-hmm. Beach. How are you providing them with the medicine they need?
They do not care. Because
yeah, they
right
weren't.
Now, the thing is, like a lot, for the longest time, the dodge was with the federal government, because it is federally illegal, federal preemption dictates, and thus there is no affirmative duty to be able to provide this. It's not a right. And that still is, you know, even with the passage of 64 and the strengthening of medical regulations, it's still the case. With it not being a right to access, you can use land use policies as a way to restrict it. And that's what's been done systematically over time, despite the constitutionally provided limited immunity defense.
Yep.
But what's really made the change is that because these things were forced out into the shadows, and because they were forced to be localized businesses, you know, just by happenstance, just because of the forces of prohibition, these businesses became remarkably efficient in a self-regulated manner, easy to operate regardless of a change in regulatory power, but also with a lot of cash. And thus they started to be able to participate in the political system.
Yep.
And that's why their influence is growing. That's why we have actual licenses.
Well,
being
this is
out
what
now.
I said to my friend, Jeff, who fought.
Who is amazing. I love Jeff.
He is an amazing activist because he just says it. And like you said, he does a really good job in presenting.
Well, I was on the other side of the dais and I saw Jeff present. And every single time he made his point through, because if you're somebody, I'm never going to name names, but we all know who we're talking about. If you're going to show up to city council and start waving your finger and saying, you're going to jail, you know, this is all some sort of terrible conspiracy and you all are terrible.
Yeah.
Or you start giving everybody the finger. Mm-hmm. It's easy to ignore you as a kook. Even if your issue's right. Nobody wants
right,
to be associated
right, right.
with you.
Right.
Jeff is a mild-mannered business person.
I love him.
Who comes up and says, I've worked in this business and here is a backpack full of marijuana. You can take it. The police can take it right now. It has mold in it, so I'm not selling it to anybody. He brings props and he uses them. He once brought vape pens and he's like, these are available to children right now. These are what children are using to smoke and getting reintroduced to tobacco. And you voted to allow it. And meanwhile, you're keeping me from providing medicine to sick people.
Right. Good one.
Remarkably effective as an individual activist. Right. And that's the type of, if you're an up and coming business person, even in the shadows, that's what brings you out of the shadows, is by representing yourself well and treating this frankly as an issue of political activism.
Right. Yeah.
You just happen to have a source of revenue.
Right. He is great at what he does. So what is the status?
Yeah. What's going on with Long Beach currently right now? I know a ballot measure passed, right? November.
So right now we're within, I believe, 2 weeks, maybe even less, for the final, deadline for non-priority applicants for a actual licensure system for retail cannabis storefronts. And this was a result of a long-standing battle that eventually melded the business owners, the labor union, the UFCW, individual activists, ex-law enforcement in the form of
Stephen Downing
and Diane Goldstein coming in and helping us out.
Yay! Leap.
Leap is awesome. But
awesome.
It was the UFCW and getting individual politicians to come out of the cannabis closet too. Tonya Yarenga, the former city council person in Long Beach.
He said, "Hey, guess what? I am a pot user."
No, she said, "When I had breast cancer, I used medical marijuana, and it's the reason I'm standing before you today."
Good.
Because she did it alongside with her chemo, and Roberto, her husband, who's the present city council person, was campaigning right alongside her.
What did the other council people, how did they handle that she was using?
Well, no, she didn't know at the time. She came out of the closet in order to endorse the measure.
Wow.
Okay.
You know, but you want to talk about somebody who did come out and just have an absolutely, balls out approach to this was Janine Pierce. And she was somebody who when Suja Lowenthal from the, famed Lowenthal family of Long Beach decided not to run for a write-in ballot, she was termed out. It was looked as a potential loser for the cannabis industry because one of our biggest allies on the council was leaving, and we had to make sure we filled that position. And so we did some good research in the beginning, and we saw that there are two candidates, Eric Gray, a Democrat, and Janine Pierce, another Democrat. But while Eric was both of them promised to be advocates of cannabis, Eric accepted money from the Long Beach Police Officers Association. And that, to me, was a signal that he was not somebody who was going to be a potential ally for us. So we went hard to get Janine elected. The Long Beach Collective Association did a lot of work to be able to ground level grassroots type of advocacy, not just cutting checks, but doing phone banking, organizing people to go to walk for her. And she won by less than 200 votes.
Wow. And so it really mattered.
And then she
didn't have that boost from you guys. Oh my God.
She campaigned to make sure that Long Beach Measure MM was passed.
Wow.
Good.
So that's what you got to do. You got to be prepared to play hard politics right now.
Yeah.
And that's what it took.
So it's not only ballot initiatives, but it's helping get the candidates into the seats to, do things in your own city government to make sure that they're enforced.
Mm-hmm. You have to stay on these council people right now. We still have,
So you don't have dispensaries. You can't have dispensaries.
No, they are going to set up
We just accepted applications.
Oh, okay.
They're reviewing them right now.
Is that going to take like a year like it does everywhere else?
Not if I have anything to do with it, because I have an open channel with the city attorney as well as the city manager's office. And I make sure I ask questions politely, but you document it and you ask, hey, we haven't heard an update in this in a while. We would like to...
They string you along.
Well,
so you stay on them.
Yeah.
You stay on them with the... This is something that lawyers have to...
If there's deadlines written into a law that helps with implementation and opening the collectives, if the law is written in a way that allows them to stall, they're going to do that.
But don't be a jerk. Say, look, there are times when a city manager has a legal right to be able to exceed what is specifically written within a statute, but then they're stretching it to a point where it's a problem. And the application process in Long Beach that we just finished, for example, the city manager required that the dispensary owners get a certified letter from the utility company indicating that their load for their business, which by the way does not exist, cannot exist by law, is not going to exceed the breaker potential for
legal?
Their transformers.
Is that legal?
It makes sense. Because on its face,
that makes sense.
That sort of regulation, which by the way was not part of the statute which was passed, but it was something the city manager decided was necessary. And when I talked to SoCal Edison to get a clarification of what this was,
would they do it?
This is what they said. They said, "Well, this is the problem. It's a legitimate issue because we have old buildings a lot in Long Beach, and a fancy new Apple store level type of...
Which some of the collectors operate like.
But here's the thing. When these guys
tape your hands.
When they come on board any new business that has a lot of new lights, they can blow out the fuse. But the thing is, usually that's not required that they get a signed letter. It's just part of the process of becoming of getting coded up for a building. The city manager in our case made up this regulation and also required SoCal Edison to comply with it by a deadline without consulting with them. That's a Fifth Amendment taking. And when you present it to the city attorney's office like that, very politely, like I just did, saying, look, you look like you've violated the law in a very clear way. They said, well, you're right. Oh. And they wrote an update to their website and saying that this is going to be that this is no longer necessary. You just need to show that you've at least contacted the utility company.
Wow. Let them know that you're doing that.
I think we need to really talk about Jeff Sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to tell us, you know, your take on Jeff Sessions.
Jeff Sessions is a segregationist racist from the state of Alabama, where I was basically raised. He was too racist to be a federal judge in 1986. Coretta Scott King actually wrote a letter asking that he not be confirmed.
Wow.
He believes that he was quoted as saying that he was a fan of the Ku Klux Klan until he found out they smoked marijuana. People like Deval Patrick, the governor of Massachusetts, wrote letters saying that he was a terrible, openly racist boss while they were working for him with the U.S. Department of Justice.
Do you want me to jump to a story that I was going to read about where he's at right now? The nomination process.
We're talking about Jeff Sessions, and I'm going to jump in and say what I think.
So this is just a little blurb from the normal news, but this is a story about what's happening right now this week with Senator Jeff Sessions as he advances to the U.S. Attorney General's office. So members of the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee have voted 9-11 last Wednesday in favor of appointing an Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions to the position of U.S. Attorney General. All 11 Republican members of the committee voted to confirm Senator Sessions, while all 9 Democrat members voted against his nomination.
Of course.
Including Dianne. But we had to force Dianne Feinstein to do so. We flooded her office.
Is she a Democrat?
Oh,
in name only.
Okay.
Yeah. And it says, during his tenure in Congress, Senator Sessions has been ardent and vocal critic of changes in statewide marijuana policies. He previously stated good people don't smoke marijuana and endorsed legislation to execute marijuana traffickers. Mm-hmm. During testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee in January, Senator Sessions says that it is not the responsibility of the Attorney General to pick and choose which federal laws he's going to enforce. One obvious concern is that the United States Congress has made the possession in every state and distribution an illegal act, he said. If that's something that they no longer desire, Congress should pass a law to change this rule. That's not the Attorney General's job to decide what he wants to enforce.
Well, what I read about Jeff Sessions is, and this was something he said a week or so ago, I found it online. He said that he thinks federally, they have too much to do to be bothered. He thinks that the states should handle their own medical marijuana.
Well, that's like a total 180 from what he's said.
He dodged the answer. He refused to answer it.
But everybody does. Listen, what did an abomination do? He said, we're not going to touch anybody, blah, blah, blah. A week later, 60 dispensaries went down. So I'll fight with you. I'm not taking anybody's side.
His Department of Justice still is responsible for the Cole memo, which is the only thing keeping everybody out of prison. Now, was Obama responsible for the actions of every single U.S. attorney? No. Was he the perfect president for marijuana? No, but he allowed the industry to exist, and he did.
Look how many people went to jail. Look how many people got busted.
But at the exact same time, he provided the legal mechanisms by which we're able to have some sort of recognition.
Jackie just handed me her phone. Something that she found online is that there's a newly formed bipartisan group called the Cannabis Caucus.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's interesting.
That are preparing to introduce a slew of new legislation, including resurrecting bills from Sessions' past, aiming to develop a united front to further congressional action on cannabis. Their support is building even amid the backdrop of uncertainty, which includes Jeff Sessions.
So they're getting a group of people together, and they're going to... I don't think that we're going to go backwards. I believe we've come too far, and I don't care about what Jeff Sessions says or does. I really believe there's no turning back.
He has the most powerful police force that has ever existed at his behest, and that's why it's concerning. And
the federal government isn't really a police force. They're not, right. They don't have police powers by the Constitution.
But the DEA and the FBI still have SWAT teams. Force.
But by the Constitution, they're not supposed to have any kind of police powers, right? That's supposed to be left to the states.
Exactly.
Do they care?
I don't know, but could that be an argument?
Does it work? No.
We're gonna. I like when we.
I still want to see farmers being at the butt ends of MP5s because they're complying with state law. And at the same time, I'm very uncomfortable with talking about states' rights, which is something that usually only people like Senator Sessions seem to really care about. We have an obvious the drug war obviously violates the 14th Amendment and the Equal Protection Clause.
Right.
But nobody brings up this particular argument.
That's what I do. I do not understand.
Right to travel, a lot of stuff.
They haven't been sued.
To work.
Is it because people are afraid?
The judicial philosophy of originalism makes it very hard to establish a per se discriminatory intent under the law, which is what you need to be able to establish. Which
in
is hilarious.
English, please. In English,
okay.
Please.
So when the prohibition against marijuana was first established by the Nixon administration, they were doing it purely for political reasons because it was identified with hippies and black people. And they've actually been quoted as saying that recently.
Wow. And they didn't want hemp.
But that predated them. By focusing that kind of federal enforcement on it, what it does is it makes it now so that it's regulated under interstate commerce powers for the federal government because it crosses state lines and everything like that. And if it's seen to be discriminatory, which by those sort of racist quotes makes it really clear that it is, that sort of law should not exist and should be struck down. But nobody's ever really made that. Nobody successfully have made that federal argument.
We're going to take a break.
It needs to happen.
Because there's so much to talk about. But I'm going to tell you somebody who is suing the federal government when we come back, and we'll be back with more Hot Pod topics and fabulous Stefan.
Nice.
Yay. Hey, we're back, and thanks for joining us on Hemp Radio. Check us out at hempradio.com. Our site is, we're always in the process of redoing our site. I've said that for 8 years, I think. Anyhow, we are talking with Stefan Borst. Look at you, her making noises and pounding shit again.
We're getting set up to go on Facebook Live.
Okay. Stefan Borst. Sensulo.
Yep.
How was that?
Perfect.
Oh, I love it. And what were we talking about? So we were like all
very complicated constitutional argument I'm making in favor of descheduling. Or
right. So my question was, why hasn't anybody sued them?
They've tried. They've just like, okay. It's just that they get struck down on, you know, a variety of different reasons.
Now, right now, I'm very proud of the HIA, which is the Hemp Industries Association. They're suing the DEA over illegal attempt to regulate hemp foods as Schedule I drugs. I
didn't even know that was happening.
I laughed my ass off because I'm thinking, really? It took you how many years? I love hemp industry. I love anybody that's involved, but how could it take you all these friggin' years to I mean,
it wasn't them. It was the DEA. They were prompted by the DEA. I work for the firm that is suing them.
Hemp Industries.
No, not Hemp Industries. It's suing the DEA.
The Hemp Industries Association, this was today, is suing the DEA, which I call, I figured I'd tell you, the Dumb Employment Agency.
She's going to get in trouble one of these days for that.
Over illegal attempt to regulate hemp foods as Schedule I drugs.
Ridiculous.
I mean, it's beyond stupid. I'm laughing so hard, I'm wetting my pants.
It's a very dumb interpretation of their law right now.
I've said for years, and I'm not a lawyer, this is illegal. But why isn't anybody doing anything?
Well, I mean, to say something, it's complicated. We are doing something. They're suing. And that's the avenue by
which... Yeah, but how long did it take for them to figure out to sue them? Like 70 years?
It wasn't them who started. It was the fact that we had these businesses grew under the understanding of the law, and now the DEA is deciding to clarify, and by... In their clarification.
No, they didn't clarify anything.
Exactly. And that's what the argument that we're making. We're saying
there
that by their clarification, they're inventing law.
Nothing.
Yeah. Right. Show me where it says it in the law. That's what I want them to show me. I want to stand up
there
and say, I would have said this 30 years ago.
There's a lot of complicated arguments when it comes down to why they needed to overregulate hemp, which is, again, not psychoactive. Their biggest argument is that you can hide cannabis plants within a large field of cultivated hemp. In other words, they're admitting
that's actually
ridiculous, because if you had marijuana plants inside hemp, they would pollinate the marijuana plants and make them useless.
Every grower who I talked about this is like, this is so dumb.
So if they were smart, they would plant hemp everywhere, so it would pollinate the marijuana, so people couldn't grow next to the hemp farms.
Yeah.
If they were
making
smart,
making it counterproductive. But,
yes.
And you'd also be putting a nitrogen regenerator back into the soil, because one of the reasons that the real reason why hemp is not back at this point is basically because we have.
Money, power, and greed.
Well, agribusiness in general is over-reliant on industrialized farming.
They took hemp away from us in the 30s because they were proving that it was stronger than plastic. DuPont threw a fit. That was the beginning of the end of hemp.
A lot of different reasons, and I tend to agree with you on those.
I hate them. I hate all those idiots.
Me and Jackie are going somewhere really cool. I think Stefan's going to go there too in the coming week.
Elle and I might come. It depends. Tell us where you're going.
What we're talking about is the International Cannabis Business Conference.
Road trip.
A really cool event. We're going to hear from Lori Ajax, who is running the new marijuana.
Foggy. They've changed her name
a couple
times.
The MCBR or something?
They used to be called Bummer. Now they're BCMR.
Yeah.
And now they're just going to be BCR, I believe.
After 64, they're changing their name again.
Yeah.
Cannabis Regulation.
I am really excited to hear from her and like what the latest is and when they project the first, the laws
to
be released.
It's going to be an interesting week.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. So Henry Rollins is going to be there. I don't know what he's going to say.
Tell the people who he is.
He is the second singer of Black Flag. He is amazing. He's an excellent spoken
Black
word artist.
Black Flag is
And now
a
he's speaking
group?
At cannabis events.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
And
a,
he was straight edge, wasn't he?
Yeah, he
very
was totally straight
very
edge.
Conservative. Yeah, yeah. And very conservative political views, too.
Oh, no, no, no.
He's been even for being,
He was a leftist. I mean, he's always been,
true.
He's not, I guess there's
a conservative on every side.
No, he's just a grump. That's what it is.
There you go.
He's a progressive, but he's a grump.
Yeah,
that's why I've always been a fan.
Because he's a grump. Well, that's cool. I'm really excited. It's going to be at a really neat hotel in downtown San Francisco.
What are the dates?
It's the 17th, correct?
I believe so.
February 17th?
The 18th, the following day in Oakland is the California Normal Legal Conference.
Oh, wow.
That's
which will be a great opportunity for lawyers to get their MLE credits. Is that what they are?
MCLE.
MCLE credits. And just to kind of hear from other attorneys, like what are the new predictions for the year? How does it change things? So those events both can be found online. People can register. If you guys come say hi to us.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Stefan, me, Jackie.
Fun.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Hey, there's a new word people have been throwing around. I've been reading it. Craft cannabis.
Huh. Like craft beer?
Yes. It's
cannabis growing?
Exactly.
High prices.
Right.
Right.
And that's what I looked it up and they were saying craft cannabis. And I'm thinking, okay, it's a boutique. Mm-hmm. Just, like beer.
Mm-hmm. Kitsch.
The same thing. It's kitschy and people like it, so they'll pay more for it. It's the same shit
that'll
that
be
you're
like,
smoking.
And the novices don't even know any better. They think that it's better because it's more expensive. So
that's what it'll be after we have like big pot. If it's not big pot, it's going to be craft pot. So I guess it's just starting early,
This is for the girls and it has nothing to do with pot. But I think that I should share this with you because it's very, very important. And it's something that you may want to know. It could prevent your death.
Oh, my.
Yes. Ann Summers, who is an adult sex toy and underwear giant, has issued a nationwide product recall.
Oh, my.
Yes. On their sex toy. And I love the name.
Uh-oh.
I love the name of it. The Morgasm Black Power Wand.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, my God. Did you say
the
you had?
Jackie,
do you have
it? I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jackie?
The Black Power one,
yes.
Right?
Okay. Jack?
You have
down.
That one?
Put it down. You can't use it anymore. Because from overuse, they can break. And you know what I'm talking about.
Right. Can you imagine that?
That's so funny.
It might feel good, though.
Right?
It'll be permanent.
No, but...
You'll have a permanent... what is
or
it?
Or it could stop
Morgasm.
At the wrong time.
I feel like I'm a renegade radio.
Well, I mean, my thing is to share important information
that's
with
people.
People
want to know. People
that's
need
a condition
to know.
You need some medical marijuana
her.
For.
She'll fill in when you're gone. She likes to talk about the shit I do. Well, you gotta, you know, put it in there because it's interesting. Hey, do you have any news?
We actually talked about one of the stories, which was where Session is right now. The other story I have is something from Oregon. We know with legalization comes a concern of people that there's going to be more people on the roads driving intoxicated with marijuana. And some people fear that this is stronger and more affecting people worse than alcohol. But in Oregon, this agency has rejected the adoption of per se traffic safety laws for cannabis. Lawmakers should not amend the state's traffic safety laws or institute per se thresholds for cannabinoids. This according to the recommendations of a new report issued by the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, which had been tasked with reviewing the state's driving laws following the passage of legalization in 2015. Authors concluded that intoxication due to alcohol, not marijuana, remains by far the greatest contributor to motor vehicle accidents and have found no evidence of an epidemic of THC-related collisions post-legalization. So that's
wow.
Good.
Yeah.
And then they concluded by acknowledging that evidence quantifying THC blood levels with psychomotor impairment is not available at this time. Rather than imposing such non-scientific standards, they recommend the creation of standardized field detection tolls that are able to detect recent use and impairment separate from levels of THC that may be due to chronic but not recent marijuana use.
That's an important distinction.
Yeah,
because
so it sounds like they got it right. They finally understand.
Yeah, they're making it analogous to using prescription drugs,
yeah.
Where you're going to be judging the actions instead of necessarily what you're going to be judging from from a concrete number. And police don't necessarily want to do that. And you kind of understand, I mean, even as a defense attorney, I can understand from their perception, it's better to have a concrete number to be able to bring to a jury and say this person was 0.08 drunk.
Yeah.
And they want to be able to do that as analogous with cannabis, but
yeah.
It's not necessarily
because like CSI
case.
And shit, people want like
exactly.
Evidence numbers.
So they want, so the fact that they're not able to do this is very important, but in the meantime, what we've got to be able to watch out for, because it happened in Long Beach recently, are people picking and choosing studies to be able to comply with what they want instead
right,
of
yeah.
ones that have been
right.
used by government officials to be able to then pass legislation.
Yeah.
And what we recently had
but
this
the government's
where,
not doing studies.
Well,
look at this Oregon, you know, traffic control.
And they've done,
you
and
know,
Colorado has done studies
right.
and everything like that.
Yeah.
We
okay,
have to
Colorado's
be,
funding
this is,
studies.
This is, I had two questions for Stefan. Did Long Beach people go to Colorado and look and see how they were operating and what they were doing and it was working well for them.
Yes. And that's what we've had people from. We had representatives from the industry from Colorado visit. And I'm pretty sure that we had people from city officials as well who have at least visited places within California. I know that have regulated
dispensaries. Well, they need to go to Colorado because Colorado has been in place for what, 2-3 years now?
Four.
And it's working. So my question is, why wouldn't people that are thinking about it or wanting to know more about it go to a place where it's working and just use what
working.
They're doing as a template?
There are places, you don't have to go. I completely agree that Colorado is a great place to do that. But honestly, we can do the same. You can do the same thing in California. We have places within the city, within the state that work, that are.
Which places?
Well, for
example, Santa Ana
has regulated dispensaries. So does the city of West Hollywood. So does Palm Springs. So do San Francisco.
So why does it's working for them. So why are these other people being like stupid?
Because, I mean, for a variety of different reasons. Sometimes it's blatant political obstinance, people who are seeing that they have that there's no real incentive within their little jurisdiction to be able to make a ruling on behalf or make a law on behalf of marijuana folks. But a lot of the time it's allegiance to other type of competing political groups. And again, the police unions are usually the people behind
those
that.
Those are the ones.
But it's also could be neighborhood it could be organized neighborhood groups, organized drug rehabilitation centers that have enjoyed a unregulated basically a monopoly on rehabilitation and don't want to lose people who are, you know, not addicted to drugs, you know, as patients. It's a very complicated thing, but you have to understand the dynamics of where you're going forward with your campaign. It's very important.
You know what? This has been a fabulous show, and thank you so much, Stefan. You have to come back.
Thank you.
We tape on Tuesdays. You know, give us a call. I mean, anything new happens, you know, with Long Beach or anything that you want to share with us, I would love you to come by once a month and just be like our legal person, you know?
How can people get a hold of you?
The best place to get hold of me is Stefan at grgs.us. That's my email. Other than that, I'm available by phone, which is 562-704-6071.
And you said GRGS, so they can also look at your website and see the consulting.
GRGS.us.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Grassroots Governmental Service, right?
Grassroots Government Strategies.
Strategies.
We are that's my political advocacy group. My law firm is separate.
I have another question real quick. This is fast. Have you ever had somebody, because you're a defense lawyer, that was guilty and you had to defend?
I actually cannot talk about that because that is attorney-client privilege.
Well, I'm not asking for their name. I'm just saying, were you ever in a situation where somebody was guilty and you had to defend them?
Again, I take the sanctity of my client's information particularly well, and the details of their particular case and whether or not a jury or a judge would find them guilty, you know, separate of what they would take is a hypothetical that I don't care about. What I want to do is make sure the people are represented to the best of my ability and to their fullest extent.
Yeah,
I love you.
So that's why you're so good.
He's
the best.
He's so cute too.
Oh yeah.
He's
married.
Fabulous.
Kathy, married. Watch out. Hey. I said Kathy, Patty. I meant.
Are you calling me Kathy now?
Yeah.
I go by anything. I don't really care. We've had a fabulous time. It's been great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Jackie.
Oh, hey, it was awesome.
Come back.
I had such a great time.
She's going to come back because, first of all, you have a great voice.
And I'm happy. Come on.
You're happy. And she feeds into my stupidity.
We should call her Angry Jackie. You know how you always call people like the opposite? Like, you know, little face always has a huge face. You know, Junior's always a big guy.
Hey, right?
We should call her Angry Jackie.
Angry Jackie. No, I'm happy. She's happy. I love it. And she's pretty. She's very, very pretty. Do you have a husband or a boyfriend?
We're bookended by...
Husband.
She has a husband. Okay.
We're bookended by attractive people.
I have to do a shout out to my new friends. I was in Las Vegas for the Super Bowl, and my two new female grower friends in Las Vegas. A shout out to Imonte and Adrienne. Nice. I love you girls.
Yeah.
I had a fabulous time. Woo. Kill it with the crop. And you know,
shout out to Cannabis Talk 101 Studios.
Oh, right, right,
Papo's
right.
Shout out
to OC Normal. Papo's at Law are amazing.
Yep.
You know,
who else? Come on, guys, get it out there.
We got Elliot, we're missing you. Buy a nice car.
Yeah.
Not a hoopty.
Have fun, honey. Anyway, on that note, it's time to blow this joint.
Yeah.